As we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, we are now in the final chapter of Jesus' teaching here. It has been called the Constitution of the Kingdom, the Constitution of the King, Kingdom Principles for Life. But at the end of the day, Jesus is teaching us all about true righteousness. True righteousness. Now, if you're anything like me, as I listen to King Jesus teach through the scriptures, I sit in awe and acknowledge that he's right. He's right. As he deals with the Beatitudes and talks about those that are meek and those that are mourn and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, I say, man, he's right. As I listen to him talk about how the Pharisees had misinterpreted and misapplied the law to man's traditions and how Jesus talked about matters of the heart, whether they be matters of reconciliation or matters of anger or matters of lust or how it is that we deal with those who wrong us, I hear Jesus' teaching and I think, man, he's right. As I listen to Jesus' teaching on secret fasting and secret prayer and secret giving and just plain trusting in God, that if God takes care of the grass and if God takes care of the birds, that God's going to take care of us. I think, man, he's right. But as I listen to Jesus' teaching, I recognize that Jesus is right. Sometimes in my heart, I feel overwhelmed at my own inability to follow through consistently. And I think this is largely why Jesus, in essence, he for a few verses here, he takes a pause. A pause from teaching about the what of true righteousness. And he begins to give us some instruction on the how of true righteousness. How that you and I might be able to live it out on a regular basis. Because what seems so clear to us on a Sunday evening can often seem quite convoluted to us on Monday morning. And so tonight, Jesus is going to deal with this idea of how a little bit as he teaches us to deal with pearls and pigs. So look with me. We're going to begin our study tonight in verse number 6, where the Bible says, "Neither give or give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, this verse, as you read through the passage, it almost seems a little out of place. Because we've just been talking about judgment and righteous judgment and dealing with beams and motes, or dealing with 4x4s and dealing with splinters. We've been dealing with eye surgery, if you will, and now all of a sudden Jesus starts talking about farm animals. And it seems a little out of place. Now, we have to be careful, though, because it's not out of place. Because as Jesus is teaching, he's teaching line upon line, precept upon precept, and he is building as he goes. And so we recognize this call to true righteousness inside and out. We recognize the reality that we have in front of us. And Jesus here begins to bring this out that, you know, if you and I are really going to be able to consistently live out this true righteousness that he provides within and that we ought to be living out through our lives, that there is a need for you and I to have some discerning perception. We need some discernment. We need some discernment. And that's what Jesus is teaching here as he teaches us about dogs and pigs. We need some discernment because our reactions aren't always what they need to be. Mentioned this earlier, but Jesus has taught us about a number of things relating to true righteousness. Most recently, Jesus has taught us about righteous judgment. That we, it's not that we are not to judge, but it's that we are to judge righteously. It's not that we are not to judge and discern between right and wrong, but that we are to judge or discern ourselves and then others. We are called as followers of Jesus Christ to a righteous judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse number 24, he said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And so, yes, we are called to discern between right and wrong. We are called to discern between good and evil, light and darkness, death and life. But we've also been called to love our enemies, Matthew chapter 5, to do good to them that hurt us, to pray for them who persecute us, to forgive them their trespasses, the Lord's Prayer. And so we're caught in this tension between these different elements of true righteousness and how they practically work themselves out in our lives. Because the danger is we could either become too judgmental, or we swing the other way and we become wishy-washy and gullible. And there are so many ways that we can fall short inside and out. And so Jesus here calls us to discernment. The need for discernment because of our reactions to things. The need of our discernment because of our reality. To understand this, there is in this world that which is holy and valuable. To make it personal, what you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ is holy and valuable. The Spirit of God that lives within us. The Word of God that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That washes us. There is so much that we possess in Christ that is holy and valuable. In Jesus' admonition here in verse number 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Is Jesus calling you and I to discernment? That we not waste valuable commodities like our time, like our testimony, like our talents, like our treasure on those who have no appreciation for them. I'm going to let that sit for a minute because we're probably thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. Now what does that mean? That we not waste our time, our talents, our treasure, our testimony on those who have no appreciation for them. That's the example that Jesus gives. Dogs will eat anything. Pigs are brazenly unclean. And so Jesus says, considering those things that are holy and valuable, don't cast that which is holy or set apart unto the dogs, and don't cast the pearls, that which is valuable, before swine. Because dogs will eat anything, and pigs are brazenly unclean. Very often in Scripture, the dog and the pig are used as in such examples. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22 reference it this way. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb that the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, the pig that was washed, to her wallowing in the mire. In other words, the dog and the pig have no appreciation for that which is truly precious, for that which is truly costly, for that which is truly valuable. How many of you have a dog? My brother has a dog. I saw my brother this week. He's had an opportunity to go to Florida for a teacher recruitment. And since he lives in the area, I got to stay with him. And his dog is a cute little dog. And in the evening, I got great joy out of saying, Dashes, that's the dog's name. Dashes, would you like it? And I always stop myself because I wanted to ask his human mommy and daddy, is it okay if I give him a T-R-E-A-T? And they, of course, said yes. And I said, Dashes, do you want a treat? And Dashes, who we all thought was asleep under the blanket, boom, came bolting out and did circles and circles and circles. And then when I stood up, Dashes jumped on me and jumped on me. They need to cut Dashes' nails, that's for sure. And then when I went to go get the treat, he's pawing at the back of my legs. And Dashes was excited. And I'm going to tell you what, he would not have been more excited if I had said, Dashes, do you want a filet mignon? Because dogs have no appreciation for that which is truly valuable or precious. Pigs have no appreciation for that which is clean. So Jesus is teaching that you and I need to exercise discernment. That we not waste our valuable commodities on those who have no appetite or appreciation for them. Now, let me be clear here. This does not mean that you and I give up on people. This does not mean that you and I give up on people. But it does mean that you and I use discernment as we manage the great value that God has given us in a discerning way. In other words, you and I need discernment in how we respond and in how we engage this world. Let me give you a couple verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. So these verses are found back to back. Verse number 4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him." Pause right there for me, Don, if you would. In other words, the wisdom here is you have a foolish person for you and I to engage on their level. At the end of the day, we both look like fools. And so the biblical wisdom is, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like unto him. But I want you to see verse number 5, the very next verse. The writer of Proverbs says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. In other words, the wisdom here is sometimes the fool just needs to hear the truth, lest he be wise, puffed up in its own empty deception. So now the question that swirls in our minds is, well, preacher, do I answer a fool according to his folly? Or do I not answer a fool according to his folly? What do I do? To answer or not to answer? And the biblical answer is, yes. No, the biblical answer is discernment. Is discernment. That you and I walk in wisdom, understanding what is going on, understanding when it's taking place, understand who it is that we're dealing with. Because sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you and I as followers of Jesus Christ just need to walk away. I can't tell you how many times I've seen and heard about exchanges on the internet where Christians get into these long, drawn-out, nasty, hate-filled arguments with people who know better and don't care. And at the end of the day, they both look like fools. And you know what? When we do things like that, we take our time and we cast it before dogs. We take our talents and we cast them before dogs. We take the treasure of God's word and we cast it like a pearl before a swine. And we don't exercise discernment. But you know, there are other times when God will give us an open door. God will give us liberty and God will give us boldness to say, no, 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 no. Thus saith the Lord, or this is the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not just tell me what to do and I can plug it into every situation. No, it is that we have to seek wisdom from God, discernment from God, as we make our way through this life. Because sometimes we do encounter pigs and dogs who have no appreciation for the things of God. You think about the time, the effort, the energy that is wasted in those arenas where everyone comes out looking worse for the wear, where everybody comes out looking dirty because they're just slinging mud at each other. You think about what would happen. Instead of investing ourselves there, what if we invested ourselves in an Awana class and helped boys and girls hide God's word in their heart? What if we invested our time taking a handful of those door hangers and praying for a street in our community and just walk up and down the street and hanging them on the doors? Somebody asked, what are you doing? Well, our church prayed for your street this week. And so we just want to let you know that we prayed for you. We're here to help and just show you what Jesus has done for you as well. And what if we took that time, effort, and energy and put it into that? I can think of a million ways that we could take the valuable things that God has given us and invest it for the kingdom. But what you and I so desperately need, if we are going to live out this true righteousness in this dirty, violent world, is we need God's wisdom and God's discernment. Because when you and I cast our pearls before swine and that which is holy before dogs, the reality is, the end of verse number 6, that lest they trample them underfoot and turn again and rend you. That when you and I walk unwisely, without discernment, we risk being torn to shreds, being robbed of our time, our testimony, our energy, our joy. The need for discerning perception. You know, how is it that I take these principles that Jesus teaches me about on Sunday night, and how is it that I live them out on Monday morning, knowing who is in the office cubicle next to me, knowing who's on the line next to me, knowing who lives next to me? How is it that I live it out? Well, number one, we need a discerning perception of the world. I want you to see what else Jesus says. Verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, let me back up for a minute. It almost seems at this point like Jesus has lost his train of thought. I mean, he was talking about carpentry in verse number 5, eye surgery in verse number 5, farm animals in verse number 6. Now we're talking about prayer in verse number 7. What's Jesus doing? You see, it's real simple when we just open the Bible and pick a verse. But you see, Jesus didn't just give a verse in a vacuum. Again, he is building line upon line, precept upon precept. And so we understand this in its context. You and I, verse 6, need discerning perception. How does that happen? Verse number 7, through dynamic prayer. You see, it's all tied together. You see, it all ties together. How do I get that discernment to live right, to live truly righteous? How? Jesus says in verse number 7, ask. Ask. How do I deal with my neighbor? Ask. How do I deal with this tension in the home? Ask. How do I deal with this issue on the internet? Ask. Ask. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The need for dynamic prayer. I want you to notice first the desire. Jesus says to ask. This, in essence, recognizes that we have a need for God. It recognizes that there is something that we need that we do not have. And it recognizes that you and I, as children of God, must come to God for the spiritual empowerment and discernment to do his will his way. Don't ever forget that this verse is connected to everything around it. The whole thing is about a life of true righteousness. And it's coming to the conclusion that I cannot have the wisdom that I need, the discernment that I need, the perception that I need to navigate my way through this life without his wisdom. And in essence, what this verse is, hallelujah, it is an open invitation for you and I to come before the throne and to ask for that which we need. I love verses like this, verses like James chapter 1 and verse number 5. Where James said, if any of you lack wisdom, Let him read a self-help book. If any of you lack wisdom, travel the world to gain experience. No, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You see, if you really want to know how to live right, you really want to know how to deal with difficult situations and to deal with difficult people, you really want to know how to navigate the troubled waters of this world, God will give you the wisdom to. You just got to ask. It's that desire that, God, I need your wisdom to do your will your way. Open invitation. Verses like Hebrews 4 and verse number 16, where the writer of Hebrews reminds us, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. An open invitation to request that which we lack, to live God's will by His wisdom, His way. And so when we consider the need for dynamic prayer, number one, we have to start with the desire, because there's something that I want and there's something that I need that I don't have. Jesus moves from the desire, ask and it shall be given you. He begins to talk about the demand. Seek and ye shall find. If the desire, the ask, recognizes a need from God, then the demand or seeking recognizes the need to go. You see, seeking involves getting off our spiritual bottoms and doing something about it. You can't tell me in a physical sense that you would be seeking some sort of treasure or some sort of thing if you sit on the couch 24/7. Well, you know, I am seeking such and such. No, you're not. You're sitting on your bottom. You're not seeking anything. And you know, there are a lot of Christians, and we have the desire, God, I need wisdom. And we ask. We go to God for something that we need, and then a lot of times we stop. But he says, ask. He says, seek. In other words, to get off our spiritual bottoms and look for what we asked for. God's going to provide it. And let's go look for what we asked for. And so what do? We continue to pray. What do? We fast, Matthew chapter 6. What do? We go to Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. What do? We go to godly counsel and we seek. We go to find that wisdom that God has promised to provide. Beautiful verse from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. He said, then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go out and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse number 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You know, a lot of times in my own life, when I ask for it, I expect God to just smack me upside the head with it. God, here I am. And I'll sit and twiddle my spiritual thumbs and await the smack upside the head. Await the spiritual UPS next day delivery. When sometimes it's like when I ask my wife in the morning, where's my belt? Oh, it's right where you put it. Yes. Lord, where's the wisdom? Sometimes he said, it's right where I told you to be. Go get it. It makes sense, doesn't it, to look for what we're seeking? It makes sense, doesn't it, to look for what we need? And so the need for dynamic prayer, it involves the desire. This is the ask. It involves the demand. This is the seeking. But I want you to see Jesus goes a little farther. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We see the desire and the demand and the drive. If the desire is recognizes a need from God, and the demand is recognizes the need to go, then the drive, the knock, it recognizes the need to go on, to knock, to knock, to knock, to knock. This shows, and this is a great biblical word, importunity. A great biblical word that simply means perseverance, staying at it, not giving up. It's banging on the doors of heaven. The drive. You know, Jesus gave a parable regarding prayer of a man who had a friend come and come to his house at midnight, and he had no bread to set before him. And so this friend, recognizing the very bad position he was in, as he could not be hospitable to his guest, he got up and he went to his neighbor's house and banged on the door and banged on the door and banged on the door and said, "I need some bread. I need some food, something to set before him. I need something that I don't have." And the neighbor gave every excuse in the book for why he couldn't. But Jesus sums up this parable in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 8, where the friend, and we'll get it up on the screen for you, Luke chapter 11 and verse number 8, that though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his consistency, his perseverance, his knocking, his not giving up, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And ladies and gentlemen, this is dynamic prayer. It starts with that burden, that need, that desire, and it starts with the ask. It continues with that demand as we seek it, and we go to those places that God has provided for us wisdom and answers, and we go and we seek, and we knock, and we knock, and we knock, and we knock, and we never give up. You see, the need for discerning perception recognizes the need for dynamic prayer. And you and I cannot navigate the troubled waters of this life without a prayer life.
Amen.
Without a vibrant, intimate prayer life. So how do we deal with pearls and pigs? Well, we need divine perception or discerning perception. We need dynamic prayer. Look with me lastly at verse number 8. And again, this is one of those passages where it's hard to cut off. Because this, you just keep going and going and going and going and going. But I figured at some point you don't want to get going home. So we cut it off at verse number 8 tonight, and we'll pick back up next week. He says, "For every one of you that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." The need for discerning perception, the need for dynamic prayer, the need for divine power. Jesus says in response to that prayer that everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. I want you to notice here in this verse that this promise is dependent upon the person. Everyone that asketh. That when it comes to this idea of discernment and wisdom and living the Christian life following Jesus Christ, that no one else can ask for or seek for the wisdom and discernment that you need, the divine power of God that you need for you, but you. You have to be serious about seeking God's power in your life. You know, sometimes I can trick people into getting things for me. Is my wife in here tonight? Perfect. Sometimes as a bad husband, a long, long time ago, this is not recent, this is many, many moons ago, and I have repented thoroughly since. You say things like, "Is one of the kids crying? Huh, sounds like something's going on upstairs when everyone should be." I mean, they could. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. We wait a few minutes. We listen. She gets up to go check. While you're up, could I get a snack and a glass of milk? I was a bad man back in the day, Sam Mendoza. I don't do that no more. You know, sometimes we can trick people into getting stuff for us. But you know, the reality is if you and I want God's power on our hearts and lives, we've got to want it. We've got to ask for it. I must go to God for the wisdom that I need. I must go to God for the strength that I need to live out true righteousness. And this thing about prayer, we get so tripped up on this thing about prayer because the Bible is very clear that God will answer our prayers as we pray according to His will. Over and over and over and over again, the Bible says that when we pray according to God's will, that He hears us and He answers our prayer. But we get so tripped up. Because in my mind, my will is always God's will. And it's not. And it's not. And so I'll say sometimes in my own heart, well, why didn't God answer this prayer? I prayed, well, He didn't answer it like I prayed because it wasn't His will. And you know, sometimes I'll bring prayer requests before God's throne that sound a lot more like James chapter 4 than Matthew chapter 6. Where James says, you lust and you have not, you kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not. Oh, firstly, because you ask not. But verse number 3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Understanding tonight that not all of our desires are His will. But I am convinced, and the more I study Scripture, the more convinced I am, that you and I can fine-tune that process. You know, I said on a Wednesday night when we talked about intercession not too long ago, you know, we spend a lot of time praying for physical needs. We do. But the reality is, I don't always know if it's God's will to physically heal Betty's ingrown toenail on this side of heaven. I don't know that. I don't always know if it's God's will to heal someone's cancer this side of heaven. I don't always know that it's God's will to do all those things. But you know what I do know? I do know that it is God's will that the lost sinner be convicted in their soul and drawn to the cross of Jesus Christ. I do know that it's God's will that Betty or Jim or Joel or whoever's got the ingrown toenail, I do know that it's God's will that they have God's peace in their pain and that they be a testimony to God even through their difficulty and their distress. I do know those things. I don't know that it's God's will. This troubled water in front of me, is it a dog? Is it a pig? Or is it something that I can help? I don't always, but I do know that God always wants me. It is always the will of God that I walk in wisdom, that I walk circumspectly, that I walk humbly, that I walk in His power, that I walk in His leading. I do know that it's God's will for me and for all of His children to always have those things. And so I can fine-tune this process of prayer. You know, it's not wrong to ask God to remove the thorn. Paul did. It's not wrong to ask God to remove the cup. Jesus did. It's not wrong to do those things, but it is always right to receive His will, His power, His grace, His wisdom, His peace in every situation. And so we see it's dependent upon the person. That we ourselves go to God and ask for the power and the wisdom that we need for each and every situation that we face. But I also want you to notice from this verse tonight that it's also dependent upon the process. When Jesus says in verse 7, ask and seek and knock. In verse 8, when he talks about those who ask and those who seek and those who knock. The idea here, the force of these verbs is that this is an ongoing process. That we ask, 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 ask. That we seek, 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 seek. That we knock, 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 knock. And this is something that we do every day because we need it every day. The wisdom God gave me for yesterday isn't going to carry me through today. And the wisdom God gives me today isn't going to carry me through tomorrow. And so we ask and we seek and we knock for that which we need to live a life of true righteousness in this lost and dying world. And understand, this is not a command because God is hard of hearing. This is not a command because God is forgetful of that which we asked for yesterday. This is a command that reminds us how desperately we need God. And a command that protects us who are so prone to giving up. You think of how easily we stop in our microwave ready eat culture. How easily we say, you know what, I just don't know that it's worth it anymore. But these verses spur us on. You and I are going to deal with pearls and pigs for the rest of our natural life. And if we're going to do it God's way, we need discerning perception. We need Him in our dynamic prayer. And we need His divine power. You know, why does Christ put this here? You know, He just gave a beautiful end of chapter 6, talking about birds and grass and seeking the kingdom of God. He gave a very pointed message at the beginning of chapter 7, talking about righteous judgment, talking about doing personalized surgery before you try to help somebody else. And now he starts talking about dogs and pigs and prayer. Why does Jesus put this here? I believe because He knows that after all we have heard, that it's so easy for us to get excited about all that He has taught, to get excited about the noble ideas that we are called to, get excited about even the self-sacrifice that we are called to, the uncompromised purity that we are called to, the far-sighted faith. It's easy to get excited on Sunday night. But it can be hard to stick with it on Monday morning. Right. On our own, the Sermon on the Mount and every other word in this book is certainly undoable. But not with God. Not with His discerning perception. Amen. Not with Him in dynamic prayer. Not with His divine power. Because with Him, all things are possible. So, church, is it a dog? Is it a pig? Is it an opportunity to make a difference? Is it a situation you just don't know how to handle? Is it a portion of this teaching that you just struggle to practice? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and to him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.